We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There it goes! A no-doubter! See you later! Anthony Rendon slams his way to a 6-2 Nationals lead.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Yet another grand slam on this road trip, leading to a Braves loss, this time by Anthony Rendon of the Washington Nationals off Chad Sabatka. And the Braves fall to the Nats in the opening game of the series. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. And tonight, another pitching matchup that favors the Braves in this series, as Julio Teheran takes the mound tonight against Eric Fetty. So you're missing Strasburg, you're missing Scherzer in this three-game set. You don't have to face either of those. You get Fetty today. You get Anibal Sanchez, our old guy, tomorrow. So you got to take advantage of this if you're the Braves, Hugh. And weren't able to in game one, but that's all right. Now games two and game three, you got to try and get at least one of the two.
Yeah, don't panic. Don't panic. It's still a salvageable trip. Hostile environment last night. I mean, that's one of the things that jumped out to me right away. It was pretty hostile. But, yeah, still a salvageable trip. No need to panic.
Yeah, so the Braves are looking at, if they can get one of the two, they'll go 3-3 on this trip, and they'll be exactly where they were when they began the trip in terms of 4.5 games up in the division over the Nationals ahead of the Phillies. And we have just checked 6 games off the box. So if they can win one of these two, a 3-3 road trip is essentially a win in their book at this point. We'll see what they can do tonight with the Braves. But the Braves have some other issues, too. We are approaching the trade deadline, and we're asking you on our Twitter what you feel about what the Braves will do before tomorrow's trade deadline. Will they make no moves? Will they make just one move? Or will they make two or more moves to try and shore up their bullpen? And that's the big question. Do you need to go out and get a hitter? Suddenly Bob Nightingale, who's one of the premier baseball writers, thinks the Braves need to go out because of Nick Markakis to get a hitter. But, and who knows, maybe they do. You know, Hugh, I was talking earlier about the fact that it doesn't seem like you need another bat now that you have Adam Duvall up, but Austin Riley is so bloody cold. I knew he'd hit a slump, but this is just
cold. This is where I think we need to be fair and balanced, because, it doesn't feel like that's the case, because we knew that this was a potential for this to happen. And, you know, for as hot as he was, for as long as he was, you knew that there was going to come a time where pitchers were going to adjust hot, where it looked like that was the case, and he worked his way out of it. I think that with him being up as long as he's been up, you have to allow him to work his way through it. He's not your average rookie in my eyes. He's not somebody that all of a sudden, you know, for as hot as he's been and how clutch he's been, that all of a sudden, since he's not hitting right now, that you send him back down. I think you allow him to work his way through this. This is a part of it, too. I mean, you talk about he had some monumental months being up here, and now he's in a little bit of a tough spot. I still think you roll with him and let him work his way through this.
Well, the Braves going up tonight with Julio Teheran on the mound, needing to kind of get things going. Now they're trying to patchwork things around. You get the Nick Markakis injury. He's going to be out the rest of the regular season. And then you have Dansby Swanson. He'll come back from the IL, but he's not due back until the weekend. And so you're kind of having to mix and match a little bit and juggle the lineup around that. Tyler Flowers, Hugh, I got to tell you, I'm at a point, and I'm talking to some people on Twitter about Tyler Flowers. His defense is so bad that he doesn't hit enough that I'd be okay with getting rid of him. I'd be okay right now in this point in the season. Now, they probably won't because he's a veteran. But I'd be okay with just saying, okay, B-Mac, you're the starter. We're going to bring up Austin Jackson and give him a run and spell you every now and then. But Tyler Flowers is becoming a liability. His defense is that bad.
I don't know about all that, John. I know that I think that they like the two platoon at that position. Catcher, I think they like the way that it goes. And I think that they're going to work with Tyler in this situation. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think that he's one of those pieces that they're not even considering moving.
Yeah, it's just, then they probably won't. I'm just saying, I'm speaking from my perspective here. that, you know, he's just a disaster behind the plate at the moment. I mean, pass ball, every single game there's at least one bad pass ball. It's just, you know, wow, you can even throw it over at this point. It's like, Tyler, come on now. So the Braves get set for the Washington Nationals and for game two of this series. And, again, we're asking you how many moves they're going to make. It'll be interesting, Hugh. The moves, aside from Stroman, all right, so Stroman gets traded to the Mets, right? And then yesterday, the Mets trade Vargas to Philadelphia. So Philadelphia does go out, in fact, and make another move. And they get a veteran starter and pick one up in the division, no less. And are the Mets going to be trading everybody not named Stroman, who's on their starting staff? Will they trade Wheeler? Will they trade Noah Syndergaard? I mean, will they start to part with the core of their staff in order to rebuild themselves in the future for a lot of prospects? That's possible.
From what I heard this morning, and everybody's speculating at this point, they're talking about the Mets might be getting ready for 2020, 2021. And I was like, wow, that's kind of projecting kind of far out. And they're thinking that they might not get rid of Syndergaard because they were talking about the four pitchers that they have already on the staff. It's a pretty good pitching staff, and how that they might keep them. It's all up in the air right now. You don't know. But I tell you what, it had everybody wondering and scratching their head. Why were the Mets the first team to make this move when they're fourth in the NL right now in the East? They're four teams, so it had everybody kind of scratching their head and wondering why they were deciding to do what they were doing.
404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. If you're going to go vote in the poll at 929 The Game, we encourage you, because a lot of people are chatting inside the poll, and not just vote in the poll, but to go ahead and leave a comment and get into the conversation as well. And right now the poll is pretty close between all three options. You have make no moves at 36%, make one move at 36%, make two or more moves at 27%. I keep standing by until the trade deadline comes tomorrow and they don't make a move, that the Braves, in fact, will make a move to help shore up their bullpen. I still believe that's going to happen. The question is, at what cost? And that's what I want to know. You know, how big a move? And it might not be that huge move you think here, but at this point, I don't see – there's no starter that I think the Braves are going to go get. Is it possible they go get a bat? And if so, where? You know, I mean, what would they do with another bat? Where would you put it in the lineup?
That's why I think that's not going to happen, John. I don't think that they're going to do that. I think that they like the lineup the way that it is presently constructed. And I mean, you got to know that there are going to be slumps. And you have to know, you had to know going through this, as hot as Austin Riley was, that there was going to be a time that this could potentially happen. And you had to also be willing to be to allow him to go through this. I think that, you know, this is the thing that fascinates me about baseball fans. When it's going good, it's going great, and everything's fine. But as soon as one thing goes, as many games as it is, if one thing goes wrong, immediately you want to change everything instead of just standing pat and allowing it to work its way through. I mean, you know, even there's been games where Matt Ryan has not had his greatest games out there, you know, throwing the ball. So when Matt has a rough day, what do? Pull him out of the quarterback spot and put somebody else in? No, you got to allow them to work through that. It's only going to help build his confidence going through this, what he's going through right now. That's the only way that you can get around this. And when you're going out there and you're adding other bats to the lineup because it's not doing what you want it to do, I think that, to me, is a little bit premature.
Well, he's been in this kind of long extended slump since for a month now, for a little over a month.
And how long was it when he came up that he was hitting?
Oh, yeah, it was 2 months probably.
Okay, so all I'm saying is allow him time. I mean, what's the hurt? What's the rush? Why you want to send him down? That's my thought about it. Why send him down now? And he was raking for you for the last 2 months, crushing it. As a matter of fact, he's won some games for you. So now all of a sudden, because he's not as hot or they figured him out, all right then, bro, you need to go back down and figure it out. I don't think that – one thing that I don't think that he's dealing with right now is confidence. I think that they figured him out and he needs to figure it out, probably slow his swing down a little bit. Maybe, you know, look at a few more pitches before he attempts to hit any. I don't know. But I don't think that you send him back down. I don't think that's the solution.
Yeah, well, they got to figure something out with him because he is swinging at just about everything right now. And we want him to get hot again and kind of start seeing the ball a little bit better, you know, going the other way and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure they are working with him. It's not like they're just sitting in there go, hey, dude, figure it out. No, it ain't happening. You know, whether they send him down or not, I I can't know at this point in the season. Right now, though, the Adam Duvall, I think, is probably your left fielder at the moment. And, you know, they just work with Austin and try and see if we can't get him hot. Look, he's too important to this team. We all understand that. A hot, you know, a decent Austin Riley, he didn't even have to be as hot as he was at the beginning of the year, is too important with his power and what he could provide to this team. Way too important. Talking about the Braves and some of the moves they might make and some of the juggling that might have to be done here as they really press forward to the, you know, repeating as NL East champions. Because, again, this is not enough, Hugh, to just be the NL East champions again, and not in my book. I mean, it'd be nice to be NL East champions, but if you see other teams, because the Dodgers apparently are going to start making moves too, if you see other teams making moves and you don't make moves and those moves that you don't make, you know, come back to haunt you when you have an opportunity to do what the Braves could do this year, because I still think the bats are going to come back. I think this is just a little soft patch. I think we saw the bats start to come back in Philadelphia. When they do come back, the team will get hot again. They'll start hitting.
No, see, and this is the thing I understand. I can remember I'm looking at the text, and I'm thinking just Saturday we were talking about how the bats were hot again. Now they're cold. Now we're moving folks and complaining about Tyler Flowers and all this other stuff. And I'm like, boy, this is, to me, this is the ebb and flow of baseball. And even though after this series, you're not going to see the Nationals till like, what, September, something like that, Abe? It's going to be in September when you see the Nationals. It's still a situation where it's going to come down to these two teams in my mind. And the Phillies might even be a team that's even creeping into that equation as well. I don't think you pull the trigger just to be pulling the trigger. And as far as the pitching is concerned, I think that, yes, there might be you know, a situation where they might want some starting pitching or a closer. But if the price is too rich, then they're not going to make that move. They do not want to fool with their young potential prospects. They don't want to do that. That, I think that has been the whole reason why they haven't made that move. And I also starting to feel like the Braves feel with the state of relief pitching in baseball nowadays, today, in this day and age, that they feel if they get hot at the right time that they can ride that wave. I think that's what they're kind of feeling. If anything, I feel like it's more that than anything else. I feel like they feel that if we get the right combination at the right time, that, you know, you can make some noise. Nobody knows for sure if that's the case, but I feel like that's what they feel like they are. Like, you know, hey, if we get hot at the right time, there's no telling what could happen. I mean, but that's kind of what sports is in a nutshell. You get hot at the right time, you catch a team at the right time, there's no telling what happened. Same thing happened to Toronto Raptors. You can argue, you know, whether or not they were a better team, or you could argue if they could have beat the Golden State Warriors if everybody was healthy. Don't matter. They caught them at the right time. They won a championship.
No, and that's absolutely true. And the Braves are going to have to ride their bat. Well, look, we all understand this. If the Braves are going to do something spectacular, like win the World Series, they're going to have to hit their way there. I mean, that's just a fact. The Braves cannot pitch their way to a World Series crowd. At least I don't believe so, to be fly in the face of what they've been built to do over the last couple of years, especially this year. This is a team that's going to have to hit its way there. The question is, you know, can you survive if the hitting, you know, does, you know, when you're going up against, we've seen, you know, when you're going up, when you get into the playoffs, you're not facing the, what is it, who's pitching again today? Eric Fetty, you're facing Ryu and Kershaw. In theory, if you face the Dodgers, you know, that Bueller, that lineup, and it's hard to overcome if you're not hitting. So, again, their bat's going to have to carry them. And with you get Dansby back and healthy, and that'll be a big addition back to the top of the lineup. And, yes, I still think that this team is going to get hot. When I say hot, Hugh, I'm talking about what we saw for that 60 games where they're just tearing the cover off the ball.
Or if you just saw what you saw this weekend. I mean, you know, people were excited about that, you know, and, you know, I was getting tweets about that. So, I mean, it's just, this is the ebb and flow of baseball in my mind. And it's not going to do Austin Riley any good at this point to send him down. I just don't think so. It's not going to do him any good.
Well, we got to figure out something to try and get him back on track because he is too valuable to this team, and not only this year, but long term. I mean, Austin Riley, to me, I think we've all seen this, is the future at third base for this club. He's a gold glove third baseman, sort of like Josh Donaldson. He has got great value to the Atlanta Braves, and I am a big fan of his. And boy, I just love to see him start to see the baseball a little bit better and maybe start hitting again, because he is when he's hitting, whew, man, this team was unstoppable in the middle of that lineup, because remember when the days of no outs? I mean, and the depth of this team is really good. I have no question about that. Charlie and Johan have done really good things, and I'm really you know, a fan of the depth of this team, and now Ender is part of that depth of this club. But at its best, it's, you know, Austin Riley's right in the mix with Donaldson and Freeman and Acuna and the big hitters on this team. That's when they're at their best. So we'll see what happens going forward here, trying to get Austin Wright, trying to get Tyler Flowers to improve his defense. A little late in the game to be worrying about this kind of stuff, but that's where we're at. And what are they going to do in the trade deadline? Boy, it's good to sit here in the studio and look. We have all these sheets in the studio. One of them has 9-9 the game play-by-play schedule. And for the first time in a long time, Atlanta Falcons on the play-by-play schedule of 9-9 the game. Falcons get set for Thursday's game against the Broncos. Andy and Randy had a chance to talk to one of the first-round draft picks, Caleb McGarry. What he brings to this offensive line as he gets ready for his first game. We have that interview. We'll bring it to you next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Yeah, of course, it's a really important day for the, you know, 25 or so rookies. And then to me, the development players, guys who we really spent a lot of time on last year, the Matt Gonos of the world, Kurt Benkert, who was like, man, we put it, you know, a good 13 months into him. Let's see where we're at. And then after that, another group of guys to go. So we'll have a good enough size group, but you're right that it's an advantage. And when you're presented with that opportunity, I want to take advantage of it.
It's a really good opportunity for our young guys to get out there with the lights on and showcase what they can do. So I'm looking forward to, you know, watching those guys play on this coming Thursday night, you know, seeing their hard work come to fruition out there on the field.
Matt Ryan talking about how he looks forward to watching them play because that's exactly what he's going to do. He won't even put pads on. He'll just have a baseball hat. Matt Ryan is not seeing the field against the Denver Broncos. A lot of the Falcons starters won't. Julio won't, for example. No reason to. And get a chance for the youngsters, Hugh, to shine in the Hall of Fame game. And still, we're going to be very interested. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. In what these young players, the first-year guys, the rookies, have to offer for this team.
For the most part, I'm going to give them about two quarters. Then I'm going to go ahead and move on to something else.
Man, it's
not hard to watch preseason, man.
It is.
It's like,
I agree.
You know, it's funny because the guys that do the preseason games have trouble being focused on the preseason game, unless it's the third one. The third one, it's not that hard to focus because it's the guys that you are familiar with. Wes and Dave do a great job of that, man. Listen, I tell you what. You talk about if anybody wants to get in this business, man, you got to watch those two cats. Because there has never been a time where I've seen West Durham did not have a roster in his hand of and highlighted, written on a lot, where he's in work mode the whole time. Much respect to Wes and Dave for the job that they do, because they know this roster inside and out, and they spend a lot of time with not only this team, but everything that they do. So shout out to both of those guys, man, because they be on top of the game for real, for real, for real.
And one of the things we'll be watching is actually focused in on the right side of the offensive line, where two number one picks could be playing quite a bit against the Broncos, and seeing how they handle the Broncos rush and how they pass block and run block and whatnot with Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry. Andy and Randy caught up with the big tackle, who is the second of the first two round picks, Caleb McGarry, and they began their conversation by asking him, let's go back to the beginning and what you thought about draft day.
It was wild, man. It was really just kind of a moment of disbelief. It was kind of hard to process at first, like, holy crap, this is really happening. This is happening right now. It was just so surreal. It was incredible.
How's your adjustment been so far? Because, like, y'all were talking about, that's way, way up north, and you're all the way down here in Atlanta. How has that adjustment been going for you?
You know, I think it's been going well. I really love it down here. You know, it's kind of weird seeing that giant bright orb in the sky so much. It's nice. It's nice, man. I'm enjoying the sun.
Do people ask you that a lot? Because, I mean, obviously, I'm from the Northwest as well. I get every time people find out that's where you're from, the first question I get, whether it's about coffee or it's about, does it really rain as much as they say? It really does. It really does rain a lot.
It definitely rains. I would say it rains different. It's not like a torrential downpour. It's just a lot of gray and, like, misting rain all the time. It's not like a continual monsoon.
Right. It's not a downpour, but it's like 9 months of mist.
Right.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
No, but you're right.
That's a good way to put it.
One of the best parts about being in this part of the country is the sun comes out every single day. Uh-huh. Now, some days like today, it's really hot. But for the most part, you're going to actually be able to enjoy being outside.
Oh, whereas man. It's beautiful.
For us, it's a little bit different up there. Anyway.
you need a reason to go outside.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Now first training camp.
Now, they cut things short a little bit early today, right? They cut things short a little bit early? Is that because
so.
Is that because it's getting so hot outside? What was that about?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I'm not going to ask questions that I don't
I hear that, brother.
You know, some things aren't worth investigating.
So tell me, how is your first training camp going so far?
I think it's been going pretty well. You know, I definitely feel as though I'm improving. And, you know, every, you know, two steps forward, one step back, you know, the continual
right.
climb to get better. But I feel like it's going really well so far. I'm happy with, you know, the progress that I'm making and just going to try to keep making more.
What has been the toughest part or maybe the most surprising part so far through the first couple weeks of training camp?
Honestly, I've been a little surprised at how well I've done, you know, up to this point, to be perfectly honest
Why?
With you. Because OTAs was kind of rough for me.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't, you know, it was a lot of stuff getting thrown at me at one time. It was a lot to process. There was a lot going on. And, you know, I just didn't perform as well as I'd wanted to. And I was a little bit nervous coming back. But, you know, I put in some good work in that little off time we had, that interim of about a month.
Right.
And, you know what, it's paid off because my transition has been much, much smoother since I've been back. I know what I'm doing. You know, that's always a good feeling, right? That's always good. And, you know, for the most part, I do what I'm supposed to do pretty well. And it's, yeah, I'm pretty happy about it.
Good for you. I know that because Saturday Dan Quinn came out and he was talking about the competition at the right tackle with you and Ty and said you're gaining ground on him. Do you feel the same way?
You know, to be perfectly honest, Ty's a really good tackle. And I feel as though he's really far ahead of me in a lot of areas. And so, for the most part, I just try to, you know, concentrate on what I need to do to continually improve and just, you know, perform as the best I can.
What's it like, and I know that you're practicing with the second team sometimes now, but you're also out there getting reps next to Chris Lindstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Is it helpful, in a way, to have another rookie beside you on the offensive line? Maybe you guys are sort of going through this process together?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's nice to know that your buddy next to you is going through the same stuff you are. It's not, you know, it's not all popcorn and daisies all the time. And, you know, the guy next to you knows it, so it's helpful. It's comforting.
How's the speed adjustment been? Because you're going against two of the faster defensive ends in all of football, in Tack and Vic. How's that adjustment been for you?
Well, you know, like I said before, you know, beforehand I consider myself pretty fast for a lineman, and now I'm not so fast. I don't consider myself that fast these days. But, you know, it's definitely been an adjustment, learning how to pass set true speed rushers that, you know, it's – that's real speed, man. And,
yeah.
You know, Vic and Tack, you know, that's the kind of fast that they're fast when they're not trying to be fast.
Right.
That's how fast they are. So.
Obviously, coming from the Pac-12, we're in SEC, ACC country. The football passion in this part of the world is a little bit different. Not to say that we don't have passion where we're from, but it's a little bit different. Do you feel any pressure or any obligation to try to represent for a conference that maybe doesn't get the same type of respect as an SEC, as an ACC player? You're coming from the Pac-12. People might say, well, it's not the same level of competition. Is there some chip on your shoulder to try to prove that's not true about you?
Certainly. You know, it's, you know, being from the Pac-12, you know, we don't get the, you know, the credit or the, you know, the praise that a lot of the other conferences do, like the SEC and ACC and all of that. So, you know, I definitely want to represent well for my school and my conference and show that, you know, we have good football over there too. You know, it's not just, you know, in the East and the South and stuff like that. We play good football over there as well.
Caleb, you've been an O-lineman pretty much your whole life, and you know y'all are pretty much the tightest group on a football team. What has it been like with those guys, with Alex Mecca we had on last week and Jake Matthews and guys like that?
You know, honestly, it's been really, really good. It's been surprisingly good. You know, it's in college, all you hear is about how, you know, dog eat dog the league is and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm sure that's definitely true to an extent. And, you know, it's different. I'm told it's very different here compared to a lot of other places, which I totally believe, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
But it's been awesome, to be honest, man. It's been awesome. You know, the amount of help and really coaching that the older guys do to us young guys, it's been awesome. You know, it's been invaluable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. Caleb McGarry joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from Falcons training camp. We had Alex Mack on with us last, what was it, Wednesday? He went there, whatever. Yeah. All run together.
We're in training camp mode, too.
But he was sitting down with us one day last week, and he said one of the big things for him now, he's been in the league for 11 years, right? I mean, he's a guy that I'm sure all of you guys look up to. One of the big things for him is trying to be a teacher, trying to be somebody who you can ask questions to and be approachable. What, if anything, that you can tell us about, have you been able to take away from working with Alex Mack over these last couple weeks?
You know, just how much it means to the younger group to have an older guy be willing to, you know, share and help and guide, because coming in here as a rookie, it's kind of like freshman year of college all over again. You know, this is a different game than it is in college. You know, you're at a different level, and it's a whole big new wide world with all kinds of different stuff, and there's a lot coming at you. And, you know, to have an old guy that's willing to help slow things down for you and teach and coach, it's incredible. It's incredibly valuable.
How excited are you about Thursday? I mean, I know everybody wants to downplay the preseason and all that, but this is a dream. You're getting to play in an NFL game. I mean, something you probably dreamed of as a little boy. How excited are you for that?
Oh, I'm stoked, man. I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait.
You might not know till it happens, but if you can predict. You put the Falcons helmet on. You've got your jersey on. It's got the NFL logo on it. What do you think that it's going to feel like stepping – and you're at the Hall of Fame in Canton. What do you think that that's going to feel like on Thursday night?
You know, it's probably going to be unlike anything else I've ever felt before. It's just, you know, it's continuing to realize my lifelong dream. That's what it'll be. It'll be another step towards, you know, realizing my lifelong dream. So it's – I can't wait to find out what that feels like.
How has your preparation changed since you've been here? Because, you know, the NFL, this is your job now. You know, in college you got to go to class and everything. This is your full-time job now. How have you adjusted to that as far as how much you watch tape after practice, before practice, things like that?
I think I've adjusted well. You know, it's nice to be able to just play football.
Right.
You know, just play ball and, you know, film study and all of that. It's easier because you're not cramped for time. You don't have a bunch of other stuff to worry about. You know, you're just worrying about improving on football.
Have you done anything for yourself yet? Final question for you again. Caleb McGarry hanging out with us here on the Midday Show. Your first-round draft pick, your lifelong dream is still – I mean, you're in the process of it, but that's you're here to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done anything nice for yourself? Because I know everybody talks about the big first thing you get when you get picked into the NFL.
Well, I bought my folks a house.
Sweet.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty solid, yeah.
And I did buy myself a truck.
What kind?
Ford Raptor.
Solid.
That's real solid. I'm old school. I like the pickup truck driving line with a gun rack and everything.
Uh-huh,
That's what I'm talking about, baby. Yes, sir. I love it.
Hey, Caleb, we appreciate it, man. Congratulations. It's a long way from the Hylabos Creek to the NFL. So we appreciate the time today, and good luck on Thursday.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
That was Andy and Randy with Caleb McGarry. We look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Andy, Randy.
And coming up next, you know, we're talking about the Falcons and Braves when we get wrapped up in that. Sweet Tea has all those stories we might have missed. Some interesting stuff. You want to stick around for this next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Miss out on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Anitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, we get all wrapped up in Falcons training camp and Braves playoff push and Atlanta United and whatnot. And so we miss a lot of stuff, and that's why we asked Anitra to fill in all those blanks.
All right, John and Hugh. So one of the things we may have missed was a surprising retirement before this guy's career ever really got started. So the fastest player from the 2019 NFL Combine has apparently decided he doesn't want to play football anymore. Former Ole Miss safety Zedrick Woods unexpectedly filed his retirement papers the same day he was supposed to report to training camp with the Jaguars. So Woods turned heads at the Combine with a 4.2940 that he ran, which was the fastest time of any player at the Combine. So despite that really great speed, Woods didn't get drafted, but he did sign as an undrafted free agent. So he attended spring workouts. There was no indication he might retire. In fact, he even attended OTAs and mandatory minicamp. Then all of a sudden, the morning that he was supposed to report, 6:30 a.m. to be exact, he texted his agent and said that he didn't want to play anymore. He planned on retiring, and the issue was turf toe.
Yeah, that turf toe is real. I think Patrick Willis decided to retire because of that. Linebacker play for the San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. a beast. Turf toe got him. And, you know, it's probably ways you could have probably worked through that, you know, with treatment and everything, you probably could have worked through that. Or maybe he just didn't have a love for the game.
Yeah, and I thought about that as well. Like, you know, someone who did so well at the Combine, someone who the Jags were giving an opportunity, who maybe could have ended up on special teams or making some type of impact, just decided to kind of quit before it ever got started. But his agent did say that he felt the same, that for him it was more of the mental piece. He just, you know, didn't have a piece with it.
Right. Well, if your game is sub-4-3 and you can't sub-4-3, then what's your game?
That's what I said, too. Like, my goodness gracious, it's crazy. 4.29 right there at the combine, and then here we are 5 months later and just nothing. Yeah. So good luck to Cedric Woods on whatever he decides to pursue now that he has ended his football career before it ever really got started in the NFL. Now, on to a really good story that I caught yesterday that I thought was really cool because I'm an avid supporter of St. Jude's Hospital. So Max Homa, who picked up his first win on the PGA Tour earlier this season, managed to turn a frustrating moment during this past weekend's WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational into a win, too. So it all started after his first round on Thursday. He finished with a 4-of-74. Then he tweeted about it. He said, "Hey, I'm sorry if I hurt anyone's feelings or your fantasy golf lineups." So that led to a back and forth. You know how Twitter does. He had this back and forth with fans on Twitter that actually eventually led to a movement being made where fans would donate their money to St. Jude for every birdie Homa made after that. And he tweeted, "Somehow this fantasy golf discussion has started something great. Some of you guys have decided to donate money to St. Jude for every birdie I make tomorrow. I appreciate you guys. I challenge more of you to do the same. I made one whole birdie today, so don't be shy." And then he finished the tournament, unfortunately tied for 61st, but he was happy to share some good news on Monday. So he tweeted back out. He goes, "Yo, just found out. We raised around $10,000 this week for St. Jude." That's what I thought. Pretty darn cool. And there were a couple of golfers that kind of chimed in as well and said, "Hey, for every birdie that you make, we'll chime in and kick in some money as well." So he said, "It's times like this that I realize social media isn't just a black hole of pessimism and political debates. Way to come together, everyone. Can't thank you all enough." And I second that. Way to use your power for good for once, Twitter followers.
Yeah, I was just about to say that because you always hear about Twitter as being the black hole and the devil's pit and all that other stuff. For them to do this, though, I mean, you know, I commend everybody that decided to, you know, donate and do what they did because you gave Twitter a little glimmer of hope. Not a whole lot, but a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, Max Homa, you know, a fine young golfer, just had a bad tournament, that's
just
for
bad,
sure.
Right, bad tournament that he turned good.
Bad tournament.
Lemons into lemonade, John. Lemons into lemonade.
Right, exactly. That's not a bad idea.
Now, I got a question for you guys. Uh-huh. So, how often do you have food delivered?
Pizza, but even as close as I am to some of the pizza joints where I live at, I'll go get that. So not so much delivery.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I've had food delivered once in the last, maybe one pizza in the last 2 years. I'm like you. I tend to go get it because I want it hotter when I bring it home.
Yeah. Same here.
But I've had it done occasionally.
Yeah.
I've had it delivered.
And our producers, Abe, was saying when he was in L.A., he would get it done about once a week. And he said multiple times a week. In fact, and Oren says it is something he does all day, every day. Well, Oren, you may rethink this with what I'm about to share with you. Everybody may think twice. So food delivery apps, of course, they're becoming really popular. But you got to ask yourself, is convenience worth it if delivery drivers are sampling your dinners? So a recent survey conducted by U.S. Foods examined consumer and delivery worker habits and pain points when it comes to ordering and delivering meals. Unfortunately, it also revealed some unsettling stats. So out of curiosity, 500 delivery workers surveyed. What percent do you guys think munched on the food from an order?
I don't trust nobody, so I'm going to say 50.
Okay.
I don't know, 10.
All right. Somewhere right in the smack dab in the middle of that, about 28% said they
Man.
Did. For me, that was still shocking.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, I thought
so
28% was still
a lot.
So
that means you put your, like, say if I'm getting McDonald's Uber Eats?
Yeah.
Right.
They putting their hand in my bag?
Yeah, on your fries.
Oh, that's your food.
Yeah.
Those are your fries.
So apparently this temptation is just way too much for them to resist. And sometimes that's how it is when it's not your food and you're kind of hungry, you've been delivering all day.
Oh, man, I want that pizza to put, like, that tape on there, that security tape.
Right.
You know? I guess, you know, I don't think I'd be dipping in for the fries, but I will admit this. If I was delivering Papa John's, I'd be stealing the peppers.
Right, so that was my
That's
question,
even
too.
That's even worse.
Right, I was thinking, like, what would be in my, like, delivery cart that would make me go, I got to have some of that. I don't know. I think McDonald's fries might get me, maybe. But I wouldn't do it.
I'm funny about my food. That's why I don't understand when folks go to the grocery store and they eat the grapes. Like, hell, you eat the grapes, them your grapes.
Those are your grapes,
exactly. But people do that.
Yeah, Abe said it would be a Dunkin' Donuts munchkin that would get him. That would be his shutdown. So check this out.
Wait a second. Don't you get it by the dozen, though? And you count them and go,
Hey, you know, how many people count donuts, though, unless you're like a OCD or ADD?
So the other thing that was very interesting was 17% of customers said they'd had an experience where also the delivery driver simply left the food outside, didn't even hand it off to him. Just kind of dropped it off and kind of rode off.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what the heck?
No, they ain't.
Are you kidding me? So you just drop my pizza off and you just keep moving?
No, well,
I wish you would. I really wish you would.
That's nasty.
Yeah, that is nasty.
Yeah. Don't come to the east side.
You ever been to Five Guys? You ever been to Five Guys?
Yeah, Five Guys is one of my favorites.
So when you take Five Guys to go, they put your burger and they put the fries in there, and then they go back and get like a double scoop of fries and fill up the whole bag with fries.
Keep it on, yeah. a lovely thing. But you know what I think it is too, John? It's the fact that it's not just the convenience you, it's the appeal of what you get through the app. So like Burger King, for example, check this out. If you ordered through like Uber Eats or DoorDash, in their case, Postmates, you could get 100 chicken nuggets for $10 on top of the delivery and then get the delivery for free. And at some point, Chick-fil-A was even offering free sandwiches and Starbucks was offering free coffee. So I guess that was kind of the appeal for people as well. But for me, I'm like, thanks, but no thanks.
That's a fat guy move.
Yeah.
I'm
just going to hop in the car and get my own.
I'm trying to stay away from the fast food as it is. And just to do that, I mean, I'm cool. And plus, I don't know your hands being. And if my delivery driver look a little sketchy, I'd be like, no, dog, you go ahead.
Yeah, you can have that.
Sipping coffee? Nah, no.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, no. 28%? That's what, you know what? That's 28% cop to it. What's the real number?
You make a great point. Yeah, out of that 500, what's the real
number? What's the real number?
Scary.
Braves have a big game tonight. Thanks, Denitra. Sweet tea. And Lover having coming in. 28, oh, man. Yeah, but those little hot peppers, the pepper carcinis in the Papa John's. Never mind. Braves have a big game tonight as they continue their series in Washington. Jerome Jurinovich going to get his thoughts about the trade deadline, what the Braves may or may not do ahead of tomorrow's deadline. We'll talk with JJ next on Sports Radio 99, the game.
Well, he just kind of was living on the edges and you know, he wasn't wild. I mean, it's just, I don't ever feel like he's ever wild. And you know, it's just kind of tough navigating for him tonight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.